You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
You are now listening to the Ride or Cry podcast.
Here for a while.
Well, it all started when I was conceived.
When we got 22 hours to do it. You got a good voice for radio. Usually that's like something you say to somebody who's not attractive. Or you got face for radio.
You got the face for radio.
Yeah, you got a good voice for radio.
I got the voice and the face for radio. I was literally just testing my own podcast last night.
Were you really? So, you sound like you should be doing something.
I've been born for this role, baby. I like hearing it, dude. I never hear it, my own voice. People hate it, but
people
I'm like,
usually fucking hate hearing their own voice.
Yeah.
They can't stand it. I remember when I first started like recording vocals in like a band. I was like, this is the worst shit I've ever heard. Like, I was like, this is so
bad. Well, singing's different. Singing, I couldn't listen to my own singing.
Really?
Nah.
You can hear yourself.
I wish you a Merry Christmas. Yeah, see, no, I can't do it.
You drive yourself crazy.
That's
listening
the only
to this
song.
What did you say? Christmas?
Yeah.
What is this Christmas you speak of?
Yeah, it's like a thing with the big, fat, jolly son of a bitch. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah, I hear people talking about this around every time in December, but I never know exactly what they're talking about.
I could break it down for you.
I'd love to hear your version of Christmas.
Essentially, there's a big, fat bitch, and he goes around ho-ho-hoing on all the little boys and girls. In exchange for cookies.
So
I don't know.
He's a prostitute.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to say there's sex involved, but there's definitely sweets, cookies.
Right. I've been known to pick up some sweets and cookies along the streets.
You should celebrate Christmas. Yeah.
All right. This sounds like a holiday I can really
get behind.
I can hang my hat on. This sounds like a fat dude comes and deals drugs.
Uh-huh. Pretty much. Worldwide.
That's Tucson, Arizona.
That's just we live in a constant Christmas.
right.
It is white all year round in Tucson, Arizona. We do have a white Christmas in the summer.
Dude, Tucson was a trip, man. When I was there for this guy's wedding over here, it was a different planet for me.
It's different, right? Well, you're from New York.
I'm from New York.
You couldn't be more from New York.
Really? I feel like I'm...
is the thing, which is great. Like, it is a really... Like, you meet you and you're like, I know where that guy... You know?
Can you really?
Oh, yeah.
Like, first 10 seconds?
10 seconds.
Even if you didn't... Even if you didn't know it was, like, in my Instagram bio?
I would fucking nail it in a second.
I did just update my bio to New York/LA.
That's a real move. Ooh. That's a move when you... You know when you've made it, when you can cross...
I was like, it's either I delete and have no location... Or have New York and LA, which pretty much means you're everywhere.
Yeah, that's where you're... Are you living... Are you going to do half and half?
I would love to skip out on future winters. I mean, I always wanted to do what I did this year, which was do the holidays out of New York, you know, with my family at home, and then come out here for the shitty winter months, January, February, March.
Right, it's January, what, like 31st right now, and it's like 70 out?
Beautiful, dude. I've been walking around like wagging my tail, bro.
Everybody pissed in New York at you?
I've been checking my weather app every day just to fucking realize how good of a decision this was.
Yeah, sometimes you do the same thing that I do. Sometimes I go on like weird heroin addict forums. to know like how good I have it right now.
It's by comparison, right? Like you're just like seeing what could have been.
Well,
right?
Essentially it's like that's like the selfish form of gratitude.
Right.
Is the thing where you're like, I'm going to look at how bad other people have it so I can see how good I have it. It's like when I can't go to sleep sometimes, I'm like, well, at least I'm not in jail.
Right, exactly. I am a big proponent of saying, you know, it always could be worse.
It always could be worse.
Some people don't like that. Some people don't like that saying, but it always could be worse.
Well, I think people that don't like that saying have a – I think that there's – something in him. You know who has got that is Skins. Got that. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't see that it could be. You could be like, you know, you always go back to the you could have the AIDS in Africa sort of deal. Like, you know, right. That's like everybody's like go to. Like, it could be worse.
I never go that deep. Do you?
I mean, I don't know why. I don't know why that's why everybody's like, that's the worst thing that they can think of.
Yeah.
You know, like, that is like everybody. Like, you know, when you compare something, so that's like the worst everybody can think of.
They still got some nice weather over there, though, you know.
I think that I don't know why that is ultimately when you do that. That's everybody's go-to. I think I can think of a lot worse things, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. But I never
like
even
go to the office every day.
I just go, like, you know, if I'm like standing outside in the cold back in New York, I'm like, well, damn, at least it's not raining, you know?
Yeah, no, you have a
topical general, like, yeah, no, shallow end version.
It's
of
great.
It,
no, but it's also great because you have a positivity that a lot of other people are unable to get or see.
Yeah.
It makes things better.
By no means, by the way, do I want to be mistaken as just a bubbly positive person. Let's not put that out there. Okay, good.
I think if anything, they're like, these guys are fucking bad.
Bad
people.
Jaded motherfuckers.
He's a real bad man.
Yeah. I'm shitty. Yeah,
Were you a shitty kid?
No, I was I think I was a pussy, to be honest with you.
tell them how you got your start on YouTube.
Even before, I want to hold on. I mean, now that we're doing stuff, like, I'd like to. Yeah, what?
This
why
goes
not?
Back
why
to
not?
Being
yeah,
a kid.
Yeah, let's
though.
Hear it. Let's hear it.
Yeah, I mean, I was super overly nice. I was like, what's the word? Like, definitely introvert. I still am introvert, but I think back like I was always like against like what everybody was into. Like, I was hipster since day one. Like, I remember I was at a birthday party. I'm like 5 years old, and the parents yell out, birthday cake's ready. And all the kids were like, yeah. And they were running over. And I hid under the table or something. I was just like, why the fuck is like everybody going goo goo gaga over it? Like, I don't even want birthday cake. Like, I was always against like mainstream,
like
you know,
even since in your little
dude,
kid,
I don't
like,
know why.
People
such
are watching
a bummer.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you're like, fuck that.
Yeah, no, like I never played video games. I never like got into drugs, like smoked cigarettes. Even never like got into weed when everybody was getting like drinking. Like I was late on. I was always like against
why?
Everything.
Why are you so? Why?
I don't know. I really have
you
no
never
idea.
Looked at that.
You came from a good home. Good family, good parents,
I guess.
Good siblings.
I was a mama daddy boy.
Like,
until,
did you have
like,
stuff in your recent past where you were like, where your family was like, don't do that shit. You're going to end up like X.
I mean, they told me like, you know, horror stories for sure. I get a lot of stuff based on how I was raised. Like, my parents are not religious. I'm not religious. But they also like were like, you know, fuck cigarettes and everything beyond that. And so like, I think like in a way I've hit my real puberty only within the past like few years.
Right.
You know
well,
what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to grow up. Like we, you know, Andrew and I grew up fairly quick in like a setting where like everything bad is presented to you.
Right.
And
right.
then you make your choices, you know, and it teaches you, you know, those bad choices that you make, fortunately, unfortunately, teach you to grow up a lot quicker than, you know, would be, what I would want to do is the way that you did it.
And this is Tucson?
This is Tucson, right. Yeah. So it's like I think it's a really interesting way to look at something, like you're like, I finally have gone through this like weird mental puberty like right now, because it's fucking stunned. It's like arrested development almost. And same goes for me. Like I fucking on the opposite end is where like when I stopped doing all that shit, I was like 24. And I had the mentality of a 15-year-old.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, right, absolutely. Right, right.
So, like, it goes hand in hand. Other than, you know, I did learn how to do a bunch of, like, shady adult shit, you know, which
right,
I learned
different
that.
Different timelines.
All I realize is that being an adult is being shitty and right. shady. Like, that's all I learned. That's all you learn, you
like,
know?
Like, when was the first time you, like, drove your first car?
Probably when I was, like, 15.
Okay.
And like I didn't, but then, you know, at the same time, I got like a DUI when I was like 17.
Right.
So it was right. like,
did he beat you on that one?
I never got a DUI, but I was driving at like 7 on some farms in upstate New York. So.
Some farms?
Oh, yeah.
Like a car or a tractor?
Like trucks. Some real redneck
I'm picturing
style
like
shit.
You barreling through cornfields on a semi.
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Shooting guns.
Yeah, no, that's the dream.
Driving
there.
Trucks.
That's the dream.
What? Yeah, that's there's
you
nothing
never,
else to aim
you
for.
You never
after
think
that.
You're going to be shooting a gun and driving a truck at 7 and being like, this is the best day of my life.
Right, right.
It's all on a VHS, too. I got to find those tapes.
You
somewhere.
Still have that?
Somewhere.
You have those?
Oh, yeah.
That's important.
Yeah. Dude, that is important. I mean, just keeping all the hard drives, you know, memories throughout your years.
It's wild. Dude,
still got everything.
I think about that a lot, like what that would have been like if our people before us had, you know, the digital and like, because I mean, now from the second you're born to the moment you die is caught on tape.
Now, yeah, for sure.
Which you would, this is what I used to think all the time. I was like, you ever watch America's Funniest Home Videos? Which, by the way, happened to be like actually America's Funniest Home Videos. Like,
right,
you always
right.
think this is going to be, I'm always like, this is going to be terrible. And it always is some dude
laughing.
Getting slapped in the nuts with something. And I'm like, this is fucking hysterical.
Right, right, right.
But like, it was,
that was OG, like, that was pre internet for
that
for
was
us,
pre-internet.
Right?
Yeah. That was pre exactly like,
viral
what's the
videos.
Fucking like, doing things
yeah, exactly.
and like all that shit like that is that was that
right.
before everybody had a fucking camera on them. That was you had to be lucky enough to have a camera on you
right
and if you or your friends are doing something dumb there's a fucking 90% chance that that's ending up on America's Funniest Home Videos.
That's exactly what I was thinking when I was watching this as a kid. I'm like, how are they lucking out with cameras on
right
now?
Imagine like now
cameras
that,
were never on
and now that's we have it on all the time therefore there's so much of it therefore doing things and all of those you know what I mean so
right,
it's
right,
weird
right.
how it's like progressed over the
is
years
is that show still happening
yeah
it's definitely on like all the time it's on
so they don't
Carlton
have submissions
from the
anymore.
Fresh Prince is the host
oh so it's
What's
still
his name?
There's still new episodes
I believe so yeah.
So I wonder when the year was where like submissions went from like you know, 1% to like 5,000%.
Dude, I
you
bet
know
they,
what I mean?
The imagine the job of the person sifting through those.
Oh,
like, you just have to watch people get kicked in the nuts fucking for
they're,
12 hours
right.
a day.
And the ones
sounds
that
like a great job.
It does sound like a good job.
Imagine the shit that they're getting sent that, like, there's no way can make it on air. They're like, oh my God.
Yeah, right. Like, someone gets
like,
seriously hurt.
Someone's hand just got lumped
they're,
off.
They're like, this isn't funny. This person needs that fucking medical attention.
Yeah, sending cops. To the address, that
dude. I was fucking. I don't know if I could do that job because then the rest of your life looks terrible. Because you just like leave from 8 hours a day watching people get like fucking hurt, and
right.
then you like walk outside and everything's like dull and gray, and you're just waiting for somebody to get fucking.
That, dude, that's why I can't watch too many meme. Like I can't watch too many like videos where people are getting hurt and shit. Like it fucks my like perception of the world up. You know what I mean? A little
dude,
bit.
I never was able to watch the Faces of Death stuff. You were
Ooh,
Andrew, right?
Oh, yeah.
I bet. Yeah, I bet you were.
What the fuck? What
you
is
don't
that?
Even know about that, huh?
Yeah,
that's some '90s boy.
What is
stuff.
That?
They were like these secret cult VHSs that you could only find at like the most. Underground indie stores and it would literally just be like footage of people like bashing monkeys brains in with sledgehammers in like the Amazon or some shit like that
or people or fucking like getting hit by a train
yeah like
holy shit
like
yeah
crazy
it was
like,
really like
real
it,
murder shit
yeah it was real like what's the porn where you die scat porn
torture or
snuff
porn. Film
I hate
yeah.
how I know that
snuff. Porn yeah
hate
yeah.
how I know that
yeah you're not a good dude
you know why do I know that
you're not a good dude
nobody yeah.
knows that
some
I thought it was
snuff.
Shit porn
yeah some scat porn
no like but
I mean,
was
that
like,
was all over, too, on Rotten.com and all that
yeah,
stuff.
No,
you know?
I don't know if anybody listening will actually. I hope they do remember. I hope the people that listen to this stuff are like, I remember that, like, faces. I remember yeah. that shit.
Highly coveted.
Dude, you know, everything's just so much scarier and creepier when it's VHS quality, too. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Yeah.
So that shit is, like, straight from hell.
Dude, the fucking Blair Witch did that. The
yeah.
Blair Witch yep, did yep. that, made that effect scary.
Right.
It was not scary until the Blair Witch Project.
Really?
Yeah. Then it was just home movies.
Interesting.
And there's nothing truly scary. Terrifying. There's nothing scary about that.
I don't know about that though. But, well, I that makes sense. But to me personally, like I always found, you know, I grew up in the 90s. I'm 24 now. So like I was born in 95. So by the time like I was watching shit and understanding shit consciously, it's like early 2000s, mm-hmm. right? Yep. I always thought the shittier the quality, the more creepy it was. And this is something I'm realizing more now, but I would watch videos back then and it would be like weird cartoons that like somehow got greenlit, and it would be like weird videos in early YouTube. And it was all like 240, 360p.
Yep.
And I'm like, this shit is creepy. Like it would give me like night terrors. And I was also easily scared as a kid. But now I'm like watching my younger brother grow up. He's 13 and he has like 4K cartoons that goes through like a bunch of tiers of like approval. Nothing really creepy is going on. You're streaming YouTube in like 1080p. None of this shit is creepy anymore.
Right.
You know what
no,
I mean?
No, there's no, it's weird that we have like a nostalgic factor about watching those things that these kids will never know. But at the same time, like, are they, you know, when they get older and they're our age, are they going to have be like, oh man, I remember it was so fucking scary watching this
damn,
shit
those
in 4K.
1080p videos. Yeah,
like, man, you could see everything. And like that was really, you know what I mean?
So, yeah, probably. You're probably right.
But I think that you were 100% right. I think YouTube was a lot different when we were growing up. I think it was a lot. I mean, for me, I ended up watching a bunch of your videos and before I met you.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. And I was like, dude, I bet this fucking dude grew up reading Calvin and Hobbes. I was like, or something like, so, like, cause that's what I did. I was like, were you into comics at all? Like
my dad would always give me like the comic part of the newspaper and
that's
I would
all
like
I got.
Shift through that. Yeah.
That's what I got.
Yeah.
Cause I don't give a fuck about all the other stuff.
Nah.
Who cares? But like, I was like, I was really interested in how, when I was like little, how you have an idea every day and animate it and, or not animate it. What would it be? Just
illustrate it.
And put it out there and be like confident with it. Like, and it was always so solid, especially those, what was that fucking, it was, I mean, Calvin and Hobbes is the most, in my eyes, it was the most perfect and relevant like thing for me growing up.
Interesting.
Yeah. I know everything. That was like my big thing. Read them every night before bed. Yeah. I'd buy the collection books.
Nice.
Yeah, dude. Like it was huge. It was a huge, huge deal of me growing up. A lot of it was because they used their imagination, and growing up in Tucson, that was like kind of what we in a lot of ways had to do.
Right, right.
So, I mean, that's, did you ever, because what else was there? There was fucking other great ones. I what was that one? It was like Foxtrot I liked a lot.
Foxtrot.
Because it was
Far Side.
Far Side was fantastic.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I know one of the original inspirations for me was, and this is like out of left field, but it was the Three Stooges reruns. I remember like I'm like 4 or 5 years old and my grandpa would call me like Saturday morning, be like, Three Stooges is on, and it's like 7 a.m. You go to some like bumblefuck channel where they're doing Three Stooges black and white reruns. That was amazing to me. That similar to like what you're saying, just seeing like someone else emulating a form of art that inspires you. I was amazed that these people were adults being goofy. So that definitely did something to me at an early age.
Yeah, that's strong.
It was strong, strong. Like it inspired me to want to make home movies and do like Three Stooges type, like bing bonk, you know, stuff like that. I didn't even have a home camera at the time. So it was just like all like one day I want to do stuff like that. But as far as comics, like I know I read the funnies regularly. I'm trying to think if I ever like got printed comics. I would read like light, nothing too crazy, Spider-Man here and there. I know I got like a Futurama comic one day, which was pretty sick. But like, I don't know, comic wise, like nothing's coming to my mind. I know like...
That's interesting. That's an interesting thing. Like yeah. You would have never thought that that was where...
Three Stooges, man.
Because yeah. I was fucking 100%. I was like, dude, this dude was a dork like me. Like fucking would pull out the comics and read that shit every day. And
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Because that's what... Dude, that's... I don't know if I read a book until I was like, I don't know, 20 something. It was just all fucking comics.
Most of my time, I guess, when I was I don't know, maybe 5 to 12, I was making domino rallies, like domino toppling.
You were a top creator of dominoes on YouTube.
Like setting it up and having them go down.
Yeah. So I guess I started uploading to YouTube like literally the year it came out.
How old were you when
11.
11?
Yeah. So that's the thing. Like YouTube was kind of there from an early age. Like I don't really remember pre-YouTube to a degree.
Right.
But yeah, I was, which is crazy to say, but I was one of the OG top domino creators at the time. I was only like 11. I was in fifth grade.
It's not weird anymore.
It's not. Yeah, it's totally, more normal.
It's totally not weird anymore. I mean, a couple of years ago, like, yeah, I think it would be. But now when you have YouTube stars all over everything, I think it makes a lot more sense and everybody's.
Yeah. Early YouTube was just like, I remember I would go on the recent tab and you would still see porn being uploaded before it was human, like before it was deleted by a human that was going through all this shit. You know what I mean? Like it was Wild West back then. But yeah, dude, straight up, I would be sitting in my basement. I had hundreds of dominoes and I would just set them up. It would take hours.
But why the dominoes?
I don't know. It's just what I did. Like I
was it to create content or was it to fun?
It was like it had to get out of me. Like this intrinsic need to set this thing up, and then I would call my family down to come watch topple it down.
So
you know?
Creating content, what didn't even fucking, that wasn't even a thought in your mind?
No, I knew like I just wanted to do it every day, and I got up to like 500 subscribers in like 2008.
Right.
Which is like a lot.
Right.
You know, and there's still people in the, I actually invented a term that's in the Domino Wiki.
No shit.
Yeah, and it's credited to my username at the time. That was Best Pal, but it's called Sonimod, which is used in the Domino Olympics now, and it's dominoes spelled backwards, and it's a method of setting up dominoes in a funky way. And I literally created that in the in 2007 YouTube comments.
So how would you use it in a sentence?
You didn't know that?
No. How do you use it in a sentence?
Oh, you'd be like, yeah, for this part of the domino rally, we use Sonimod. And, you know, it's literally like, you know, regular dominoes like are like that, right?
Right.
Sonimod is you set the dominoes on their side.
Oh, okay.
And so when you pull one, it, you know, it's like kind of just chain reaction.
It's different. It's a different setup.
Totally just a different setup, but it's literally used in like
and it was never,
official competitions.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
It's wild.
That is crazy. You invented a word.
It's wild.
Honestly,
so,
that's a humongous.
get royalties.
That is insane. Yeah.
That dude, is a wild so thing. That would be my biggest accomplishment. I bet this fucking word. Dude, we had a, I don't know if this story is real. I remember it being real.
Okay.
We had a teacher named Mrs. Horn. She was a math teacher. In,
was she nice?
I do remember her being very nice. I know her name sounds not as nice.
Would be the opposite.
And she came to school one day and she was like, I won. I won this Webster's Dictionary like word fucking thing. And where you create a word that didn't exist that has needs meaning, you know, something needs meaning. Mm. And she came up with the word fardo, which was to feel embarrassed for somebody.
F-A-R-T-O?
F-A-R-D-O.
D-O.
Yeah, so
oh, okay.
I like she likes, like, yeah, right? Like, fardo. She was like, so I feel fardo for, so like, if you see somebody, like, fucking fall down or something, and then you feel embarrassed, it's almost like embarrassment empathy.
Right, yeah.
So, and so she said she invented that, which, you know, again, I don't, you know, my memory is not great.
Is like, how old were you?
Dude, all right. I had to be like 14, 13 or something like that.
Okay.
When are you in eighth grade?
Probably like 12, 13.
Yeah, so something around that.
Right.
Crazy fucking thing about this is her son went on to murder my manager at Mr. Rags.
What?
For weed.
What?
Yeah, it takes a very
some
dark
Tucson shit.
Takes
right
a
there.
Very dark turn. It takes a very dark turn.
Her son.
Her son was like, you know, older than me.
What?
But at this time, we're selling dope in the back of Mr. Rags, and I think he knew that. Then he followed somebody home, and then you know,
holy shit!
Yeah,
Mrs. Horn's son,
Mrs.
The
Horn's
murderer.
Son. Yeah,
so, at Mr. Rags.
Fuck.
Yeah, I know. It didn't happen at Mr. X, but that's where, where it went down. But anyway, that is.
Did you write a book?
Did I?
Yeah.
No.
You should.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, you could just listen to all these fucking podcasts and probably talk about everything on all the. I've been doing a bunch. Do you do podcasts?
A little bit, more and more like guesting, but like, I was telling you a little bit before this, I'm like dead set on launching my own.
What's it going to be like about?
I want to have on, I have so many talented people in my life, and they all are doing cool shit. So I want to definitely at least have a medium where I could interview them and shoot the shit on some recorded medium. Right. Cooper. I at least want to give more insight to my audience, my fans, as to like what the hell I'm like, and like answer any of their questions and kind of tell stories that I experience as I go about my life. Cause my life is getting more and more crazy. I never would have thought it would have gotten to this point. Like I went to the Grammys the other night.
Yeah. I think that that is when, we were talking about this, talking about this the other day. Is when it's hard to take a step back and look at what's happening when you're in it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is crazy. This last year has been fucking nuts for you.
Yeah.
It's crazy to have fans.
It's a wild concept.
That's a crazy thing. What are most of your fans like? When you interact with them, what are they asking you? What are they talking about?
Dude, they're honestly mainly saying thanks. My animations really connect with people and speak what they're thinking about or... help them get through tough times or make them smile or laugh when they needed it. And a lot of the DMs are just them saying like, thank you. This helped brighten up my day, or, this video saved me, which I don't know how legit that is, but all right.
I think that it's totally possible.
Yeah.
I think that anything is possible. We have that with Emo Night stuff.
Yeah.
Where you just don't think that like what you're doing is strong enough to have an effect on somebody, but it actually does.
Right, right. You
know, that's just our dumb brains being like, what we're doing isn't good enough.
Yeah, well, you told me that story the other day as well. Like someone coming to one of the shows and just outlining like how it literally like saved them, right? Yeah.
And like, still it's like a hard thing to understand. Like
I almost can't. Like I'm like, are you sure?
Yeah, right. Like you
maybe think, you had like a good smoothie like before you watched my
maybe
video.
Maybe you saw a different video. You know what I mean? Right. Like maybe it wasn't me. Maybe it wasn't the thing that you're thinking of. But I think that it's absolutely true.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the followers and subscribers, like, it speaks volumes to like what you're doing.
Right.
Which is I don't did you plan out to do this?
Dude, I stumbled upon it. I always like loved drawing. I always wanted to, do it for a living. Just wasn't sure how. So once my stuff started blowing up and getting views, I was like, fuck, finally, like, this is what I'm just going to like drive this into the ground and just hope that it sticks.
You say that like it just happened. Like you're like, it blew it when my stuff started blowing up.
So yeah,
like, what did that look like?
It kind of manifested itself as me having a dumb three in the morning idea while I was brushing my teeth. I was like, damn, it'd be fun to make this into an animation. I was just picturing like a snake and like a little skit and like pink background. And I didn't know how to animate. So I dug up some old equipment and I drew this thing at 3 a.m. and figured out how to make these characters move and talk. And that ended up being like a pseudo political cartoon of sorts, that I ended up calling Snakes Have Legs. That, was during the most politically charged summer of like our time, summer of 2017.
I watched that one.
Yeah. And that was the one that blew the fuck up.
It was really funny.
Thank you, man.
Like, and it's your voice and your tone.
Yep. Yep.
In it.
That was the first one.
It really is cool. You say something to the snake that I was like, I fucking watched
it. Stop being dumb on the internet.
Yeah.
Something. And I was like, you know what? I saw it. I saw like why this would be appealing.
It went crazy.
That's why I saw it. You know what I mean? And it's super weird that you have so many people out there trying to have that one thing.
Yeah, dude. It was crazy, man.
And so it's a 3 a.m. idea. And sometimes it's a fucking, it's something like that. And sometimes it's something like Emo Night where you just make the best out of a situation.
Right.
And you do what you can to make it cool and what you like. And I get it. It's weird to talk to a lot, because we do this thing too where we talk to a lot of people, or at least, you know, we like a lot and we right. think are cool, and you know, sort of same deal. But we found that that is the most, the people that make it, at least from what I'm finding out from talking to all these people, either stumbled upon it and went with it, or they worked their asses off really, really hard to get. There's like no
or both, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's, or I mean, yeah, it's, it turns into both. But right. like sometimes people don't know what the fuck they want to do.
Right.
And then once they hit that thing, that 3 a.m. thing, they're like, I'm going to go full force now.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely, I agree. It seems to be like only happening like in the matter where they stumble upon it, they are thankful that whatever happened, and they know how to kind of, they know what the next step is. That's like, it didn't really happen out of nowhere for me, because, you know, I knew what to do next. I knew to double down on, like, I knew to respond to comments to drive engagement up through my like 9 years of YouTube in the past. And I knew, like, but this was post this on Twitter. This was like
before we had digital strategy, right? Like, this was before all
snakes
that
have
shit.
Legs, like 2017.
No, we had it then.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, put it this way, I didn't know nearly as much as what I know now.
Right.
And I didn't have any fucking friends to tell me what to do.
Right.
Now I have, you know, Andrew in my life, and I could ask like a bunch of people how they do it. And but back then it was just me going off of my past experience that, you know, probably has expired since, like, you know, I was big on YouTube in like 2010, 2011, 2012. That shit doesn't really apply anymore. But what I did know was like, hey, you know, respond to comments, put it on as many platforms as possible, you know, drive engagement up, do the next video ASAP, you know. So I had that knowledge, but even then I could have done all that stuff and it would have not worked. It could have been like a one-off. But I just kept fucking building. I kept having good ideas and jokes in my heads for the next animation. And I kept just – and the audience kept climbing. I was in the rare position where I had the audience before I had the content or the know-how.
Because of the dominoes.
Well, because of a little bit, a few people.
You owe fucking dominoes. You owe that fucking prison game everything.
A little bit, dude. I wonder if I have like slight brain damage because of the amount of time I spend in my basement back on Long Island.
No, I think that makes you smarter. I think
it's
that
like pipes leaking and
no,
shit.
No, I think that makes you fucking, when you're like doing something with your brain, like that's what I think that makes you,
dude.
Maybe it canceled out with fumes though.
Fuck, man. Like, can you imagine like a 7 year old kid, like, not looking at their phone or TV for like 4 hours straight and just focusing.
Dominoes.
I was a freak, dude.
Yeah, I used to go to the basement and fucking imagine scenarios down there where I would have, I pretty much would make my own escape room.
Really?
Yeah, in the basement.
That's sick.
I also,
like, with boxes and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, and then I was like, how the fuck am I going to get out of here?
And some, like, Houdini stuff?
Yeah, and then I would just fucking trap myself down there for a really long time, and then ended up peeing in a fishbowl for like a couple months, and then parents found the piss drawer.
Oh, yeah.
Empty fishbowl, or was there a fish in there?
It is empty.
All right, all right.
Never.
Fish is like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I just, like, it was like the basement where, like, we put all the old shit, and I was like, this looks like a good thing to piss in.
Nice. Yeah. I would still do that.
Yeah, I mean, I pee outside any chance I get.
Liberating.
There's nothing more freeing.
Oh, dude, it's the best. That breeze, man. It's a little too windy today.
I do it at my place.
Nice.
I like go in the backyard and fuck piss outside.
Yeah, I would do that at home when I would come home from school. I would not really want to pee inside like a normal citizen, and I would pee like by the treehouse.
Yeah, that's what I did inside of the house when I used to come home from school in New York.
Hell
it
yeah.
Just feels better.
I agree. Andrew, do you agree?
Hey, when nature calls.
But that's the thing.
To do it is in nature.
We were in the perfect opportunity to just do it in our house, but we chose to do it outside. You know?
Yeah, you're going against the grain forever, dude.
Right. It was a yeah. Anyway, I don't know how we got here.
Well, I mean, it's a podcast with me. I'm going to be talking about piss.
Yeah.
Like, I'm, you know,
you didn't know the podcast is called Piss Freaks.
Piss Freaks?
Yeah.
It's
it.
Like a really high, it's
I like
we
it.
Have a high emphasis on
cool man pee pee Dan. You know what I'm saying? So tell me, you have a good story about the puppets? You're going to tell me about more about the puppets?
Oh, the chick that made those puppets for us. I met on Tinder.
No way.
She catfished me, kinda. Like, she did not really look how she did.
Was she a puppet?
No, and she didn't do this. She didn't do this at all. She didn't. She didn't do this at, like, I didn't even know. I was like, oh, this is an artsy gal. She was just, and also she lied about like her age. She was definitely like in college. Like,
oh, I so thought she was younger.
Yeah. And so I met her. I didn't know any of this when I met her. Mm. And I was like, when I met her, I was like, oh, you were like 21. And oh, you're, and I was like, no, we're going to be just friends. And right. So anyway, this was, I don't know, like 6 years ago or something like that.
Okay.
Maintained friendship.
Prime Tinder timing right there. Oh,
dude, that was 6 years ago?
Yeah, like 2014, dude, right?
Yeah, that was prime. Like when it was anything goes.
Absolutely.
Wild West there.
Yeah.
But, so anyway, stayed friends with her, ended up making a puppet. So you never know what the world is going to throw to you fucking 6 or 7 years later.
I don't know if I'm friends with any of my past Tinder connects, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I didn't do anything.
All right.
And I was,
that's where I went wrong.
Yeah, I was just like, you can tell. I can always tell. I can always go, this is going to be, you know what I mean?
I remember I went on a Bumble date 2 years ago, and I was not attracted to the girl, but I thought she was super talented. And I was like, I'm going to go grab a drink with her and hope that I'm, you know, hope we could just be friends, because I do think she's super talented. And her music was dope, and I was like fully set. And I go out with her, and I saw like she was like projecting like these romantic vibes onto me. And I was like, fuck, how do I back out of that? How do I revert it to friendship?
How'd you do it?
I ended up making out with her.
Right. And then
I didn't even want to.
Now you guys don't talk.
No.
I know how that goes. You took the easier, softer way, sir.
I know. You would think it's tougher to make out with them, but I was feeling pressured to, and I took the easy route in making out with them.
Right. And then you fuck yourself over forever. And now who knows, maybe she'll come back around.
Hopefully. Maybe there's a song written about me, you know?
Can you imagine?
Maybe there's a puppet about, like, a puppet version.
Yeah,
what
if these were just voodoo puppets? And she's like, now I've got this fucking terrible pain in my side.
Wait, so can I pay your girl here to make a puppet?
Yes.
Fuck yeah, dude. I've been looking for a puppet. Yes. For like probably 2 years now, and it's tough to find custom puppet makers. They're either like $20,000 for like movie productions.
Look, we have been doing this for so long. There is nothing that we cannot figure out how to make.
Dude, obviously. I mean, shit, man. The bomber I got from this room a few months ago, dude, I drove that thing is like hanging together by a thread.
Oh, you need
I wore it so many times.
We'll give you some more stuff when you dip.
You know when like the inside lining just gets dirty for some, like based on your sweat or something?
Yeah, that's why I don't wash my hands. This is why I don't wash my hands before I wash my hands before I piss.
I was wondering where you're going with that sentence.
No, I wash my hands. It's
back to piss.
It is always, it goes right back.
Yeah, back to pee-pee, yeah.
It's the same deal. It's like the inside of your shirt doesn't get there. It just goes to the
good. Wait, what are you saying?
All right, so when I pee, I'm shaking hands all day, right? I'm fucking bullshit and I'm touching stuff. I got a thousand dogs. I go to pee, I wash my hands before I pee so I don't touch my dick.
Your ding
after.
Dong. Yeah.
Being dirt, and like, what's it doing in there? It's not shaking hands. It's fucking petting dogs. It's if I showered and put my pants on, nothing is, there's no issue.
Right.
So it doesn't really make, unless I'm pissing all over my hands, there's really no sense for me to wash my hands afterwards. And it makes 100% sense to wash your hands before.
Damn. Yeah. It's really interesting. You ever like, you ever go into a public bathroom?
It is interesting.
No.
I'm really pushing for it.
No, I'm not even being sarcastic. Like, I might change how I do my thing. Do you ever go into a public bathroom and this happens rarely, but it happens. Like, I'll go to like the stall and, you know, take a doo-doo and then I'll leave.
Right.
And there's people there. They're witnessing all this. And then I'll be washing my hands.
Right.
I'll catch myself in the mirror and I'll look at myself, be like, oh shit, I gotta piss. I forgot.
You forgot to pee.
And then I go to the urinal.
Right.
in front of everybody.
Right, right, right.
And they're like, what the fuck? And sometimes it's vice versa. By
sometimes
the way.
You're pissing and you're like, oh, no.
Here yeah, and it's stupid, bro, because I will literally do one, wash hands, contemplate life, and then decide it just needs to happen, and I'll do the other. And I wonder if these people like think like,
this guy can't do both.
This guy can't chill.
Like, this guy can't do both of them. They're just fucking going home to their families. They'll be like, you can't believe this fucking shit. Here, this guy then he came out, and then he went right back in.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like a weird thing that happens probably once a year, but it happens.
Dude, is it airport when it happens? Because you'll never...
Airport, I'm fine.
It's
no issue.
Well, because there's no rules there.
Right.
The airport
That's true.
Is a bad place.
Right.
It's like for some reason, everybody forgets everything they've ever learned in their entire lives as soon as they set foot into an airport.
Right.
It's like being, maritime law. Like, yeah, they're just like fucking moms getting wasted at the fucking California Pizza Kitchen at like 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Dudes are getting off fucking planes, literally like standing in a row, ripping ass in the back. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like growing.
The
they're
line,
like, they're
fardo.
Like, dude, they're just like,
fardo.
I feel it when you fucking see that shit. Cause they're groaning. It's a very strange,
Matt groaning.
Dude, have you guys not been in an airport bathroom when this is happening?
I have a feeling you've been to airports way more than me.
Dude, I'm in an airport once a week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I see the fucking most vile shit. People just like shoving pizza into their face. Like, it's like very, like, I feel like since it's everybody's on like a somewhat of a time crunch, they're always like, all right, I have to shove all this stuff into this amount of time. And
right.
And they're like, they just fucking forget how to be human beings.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Truly the worst of humanity.
It's really bad. It really is really, really bad.
It's funny, man, because like, I guess it is because it's like this one building where everybody is from all over the world. And timing wise, like, they're all fucked up. They don't know what time of the day it is. Time differences. Like you said, time crunch. They got to catch their flight. This, and there's like coffee, beer, pizza, Chinese food.
There's no other place in like the world that has like that many variables working against you at once.
Right.
Than an airport.
Right. And you can't like walk away from your bag because then you're a terrorist. So like you're lugging your shit around while you're eating an egg roll.
Yeah. You can't say lip balm.
Lip balm?
You cannot say that on the plane.
Got it. I thought you said lit balm, which I'm like, don't say that.
They may have thought I said it, but I said lip balm.
Yo, this airport is lit bomb, dude.
You can't say anything that sounds like bomb.
Wow.
Yeah, not in that terror tube.
I just say chapstick, man. Yeah.
Yeah, now I do. I changed it all up.
Lip balm?
Yeah, you can't fucking say it. I don't know. Whatever the
There's
fuck.
This story my buddy told me. I don't know if it's true. It might just be a joke, but if it is true, I could also believe if it's true. She was going through customs, this woman. And my buddy's an actor, so his whole family is in, like, show business. And this woman was going to work on a TV show. And she's going through customs, and the people are like, hey, like, what are you traveling for? Like, why are you here? And she's like, oh, I'm here to shoot a pilot.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
they
yeah.
Detained
yes,
her.
Yes, yes.
Like, shoot a TV show.
They lip bombed her.
Yeah, they lip bombed her.
That bitch got fucking lip bombed.
And she got stuck for hours, dude. She's like, I'm shooting a pilot.
Oh my God. Wow. That is
Can you imagine?
That's a really good, either way, that's a good joke.
Yeah.
Either way, it's like a very solid.
It might not be a joke because like it just sounds like such human error. And like with like the language barrier and shit, you know, I don't know, man. Like, fuck, you're getting thrown in whatever small little room they hold terrorists in.
Yeah,
you know?
Dude, I never understood why we call some of the things that we do.
Yeah.
Like, I never understood why the fucking was called a pilot.
Right. Right.
I mean, I never understood that. There's a lot of like camp, like fucking production talk. I don't understand why things are
86.
Called
86 that sandbag.
There's
which
just
means
like
get
a,
rid of it.
There's a lot of stuff I just like don't understand why even like a sandbag is called something else like in production.
Dead mother-in-law.
Yeah, they're like
that's what they call it. This one guy called it that. I was like, what the fuck?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's like imagine coming here for the first time and working on a production set.
That's what I did, dude. Like, I was a PA for a little bit and this dude's throwing around like
he's 86 telling you
that mother-in-law, that dead mother-in-law. I'm like,
what the fuck did you just, what?
Yeah, 86, that dead mother-in-law. We got this pilot. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We
got
to shoot a pilot, yeah.
Just say the real thing.
Which, dead mother-in-law.
Shooting a pilot on sticks.
Yeah, no. Yeah, sticks.
Yeah, right?
You got like...
I was like sticks, though.
Dead mother-in-law says, like, it takes more syllables to say than saying bad.
Yeah,
so no. It's like you're not saving time.
No, I know. So trust me, dude. This is the shit that I think about before I go to bed.
Yeah.
That's why I can't write a fucking email in 20... It takes me 25 minutes to write an email.
Right. You go pondering about film lingo.
Forbes?
Yeah, Forbes.
What's up with that?
Yeah.
It's a cool transition. This is cool transition. 30. You just fucking scream the thing that you want to talk about.
Yeah, wow.
It works.
That was cool. I like it. Forbes 30 under 30, man. Crazy shit. Wasn't expecting it. Yeah. Yeah.
What is that? What, like, when they contacted you? Or, like, what does that, like, because I think that that's something that a lot of people are like, how does that happen?
Yeah, they said I was nominated. So I guess backtracking, I threw an event back in May that went so fucking good. Like Mark Ruffalo ended up rolling up with his daughters because they're fans. And it was totally on my own dime. I did it with another creator, Catnips, my buddy, who's also a big artist on Instagram. And we kind of just like arts and crafts this event together and just made a little itinerary and it sold out and like, you know, right on Broadway, 368 Broadway, which is Casey Neistat's venue space. And just kind of fucking jerry-rigged this event together, which it turned out amazing. It was my first event I ever put together.
What did you decide to do for the event? Like, what was the idea?
It was under like the pretense of like a pop-up. So, you know, there's all these cardboard cutouts and like it's like we had like I had these amazing friends like do like an amazing cloud installation. It just like looked fucking dope. So photo op galore. You get to meet us. There's the merch exit through the gift shop vibe in the front. So that was like open house, free cold brew coffee stand. You know, come chill, meet us. That was during the day. In the evening, there was a talk that you had to RSVP for. There was 200 spots that sold out, where me and Harry Catnips ended up, you know, doing a nice little talk about Q&A, like what we do, da da da. It was moderated. That's the one that Mark Ruffalo came to. So Mark Ruffalo was in the front row chilling on a beanbag with his daughters.
Just Hulk
laughing at my jokes. And I was like real, like, this is unreal,
dude.
I was just like elevated to I was like, this can't be real. Yeah. I wasn't even stressed out. I was just like, how? Like, how is this like happening?
It's hard to stay normal in a situation like that where you're around a bunch of people where you're fucking, you're like,
you experience it regularly. I'm sure.
I moderate a lot of stuff where like people that I have to mod, I really look up to or like I'm a huge fucking fan of.
Right.
Which is really, really difficult. Sometimes
you're just trying to keep it normal.
I try to talk to them. It's different when you talk to people that I got a lot better at it, but it is very, very difficult to not sway the way that you speak and the way that you direct questions in any sort of opinionated way.
Yeah, right, right.
Because I'm like, I want to be like, you're the best at everything. You're awesome. Can I have your autograph? And then they're like, that's not a question.
Right, yeah. You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a matter of just, I assume you just learn by doing, right? Like
it's,
you just keep
it's a, any
doing
sort
it.
Of, dude, it's like this, like you'll find that after you do this a couple times, I do very, very, very little to prepare for these.
Uh-huh.
Very little.
Good.
You know what I mean? But I did a bunch of shit.
Oh, shit.
Bunch
cool.
of stuff. I mean, like 15 minutes.
That's all you need. That's probably my whole portfolio.
But it was stuff that I already,
right there.
Here's the thing, it was stuff I already knew. I was just seeing if there was like any like different shit I needed to, or thought it was cool, interesting or anything. And I definitely didn't like skim through any interviews because I'm not trying to fucking ask the same shit that other people are asking.
Yeah. I wonder what interviews even come up when you type.
There's a couple, but they're pretty good interviews too. Like I wanted to read the whole thing, but I was like, I'm not going to fucking.
Oh, read?
Yeah, I read a couple. There was a Vulture one. I don't know.
Weird.
Yeah. Either way, I do. So I do very, very, very little prep for these.
Yeah,
things.
Yeah. No, I like the more natural vibe.
It feels a lot better. Sometimes the only thing that's bad about it sometimes is when I do actually want to find something out, and then I just talk about piss for 30 minutes. You know what I mean? But yeah, I think the same time, it's entertaining for...
Dude, yeah, hell yeah.
And you get in like
the genuine vibe of it, you know?
And if you're bringing in people that you like a bunch, yeah, right? Like, it gets easy. It's a lot easier to like... Because for a while, there would be like... At least for us, like, labels would send us bands that to do these podcasts with, where I didn't dislike them, but I didn't really know too many things about it. So it was like hard for me to get any sort of fucking
excitement together.
Not even, cause I'm excited talking to anybody. Right. But if it wasn't about the band and it was just about them, then I would be excited. But since it was like specific,
oh, there's like an agenda.
If there's an agenda to it that like, I'm not particularly.
So tell me about the album. Like, what was the inspiration? Yeah. Like, stuff like that. Exactly. I don't want to do that either when I start my shit up.
It's exactly like that. Like, yeah. You can pretty much like, you know, at this point, like, you know, like there's enough like social stuff. There's enough digital stuff to understand like what goes into the album, what making it, like you probably watch these people do it the whole time.
Right.
So I think the cooler and more fun thing to do is have a natural flow of conversation.
Yeah, dude. I mean, and I, you know, the whole authenticity always shines through. Like, people, they know when something's scripted. You don't want it to be like an NPR sort of vibe. You want it to be real, bunch of dudes like hanging out, like a bunch of guys and gals, you know.
It is whatever you want it to be. And that, like, when TJ does his podcast, it's a lot different than when Babs does her podcast. And when I do it, it's a lot different.
Right.
And so, I, you know.
Talk about urine, just like most
of
the time.
I'm going to let you know that they are not.
They're not going to do that.
They are not having any piss talk in here.
What do they talk about? Acne or something,
like,
or
meditation.
Like poo-poo?
Yeah, like meditation.
Okay. I was just picturing like another like gross body fluid.
No, their interviews are really good. They're just different.
This is good. Dude.
I think mine are fucking great. But that's the thing.
Yeah, they're
like,
fucking awesome, dude. Don't talk to this is like an animation script coming out. Like, you're amazing. Your podcasts are great, even if they're unscripted.
See? I need one. I need to have that done with me. Yeah, I need a custom one
of
me.
If I just drop a video that's like, hey, Morgan.
Fucking everybody tags me. I'm like, this motherfucker.
Yeah. Dude, I want to do that with like a Billy. I think I've been crushing on Billie Eilish, dude.
You can now.
I can now. Maybe that's why I am.
Yeah, the world was like, all right.
Yeah.
You're allowed to now. You're allowed to not be a fucking psycho anymore in the eyes of the...
My crush was like perfectly in time with that because I didn't feel anything before that. But then like, I don't know, maybe it's like the difference in pictures she's posting, but I'm like, wow, she's really cute. And I was at the Grammys and I saw her and I was like, you're really pretty. And then I was like, started having dreams. I had dreams that like we were like dating, dude, like reoccurring dreams. I feel like I could
you
definitely.
You put this out there, dude. I think that there's like, I do think that there's a chance.
Maybe she's listening.
She'll be listening. She's our number one listener, which is so weird.
Oh, cool. I want to like, so what got me thinking about that was like, what would happen if I did an animation that was literally just a character of mine saying, tag Billie Eilish.
Do it.
What would happen? And she gets like 20,000 tags.
Do it.
There's a chance she still won't even see it. You know what I mean?
There's a chance, but there's a good chance she will. If everybody's tagging her in one thing specifically,
right,
you know?
Right, right. And then what, right?
Here's the thing. No, I think you should just do this.
She blocks you.
What you should do is just animate this and then the audio from this.
Right.
And then tag her in it. And then she'll be like, you know what? I am their number one listener.
Right. Right. That guy sounds cute. Which guy?
Exactly. And then she'll do
Can
a little.
Can you be more specific?
Then she'll do Billie. A little bit of digging.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, she's really cool. I think, like, she's in maybe another life if she wasn't famous. I'm actually curious. I was thinking about that this morning. If, you know, she was, what, 13 when I was making Justin Bieber haired-esque videos in 2012. I want to go back in my inbox and see if she was commenting on shit. I don't know what her username would be at the time. You know what I mean? So I would have to like get all hackery and shit. But there's a good chance if she wasn't watching me, she was watching one of my homies back then. Because she was, there's
the
old vines
to,
of
the
her.
The
you
only
know?
Way to know is to see if she commented, right?
Yeah. Or subscribed.
like they say in the videos, comment or subscribe.
Yeah. Like, comment, subscribe, smash that like button.
Do they say that? Comment and subscribe?
They say, yeah, they say like, comment, subscribe. I thought it
was just like and subscribe.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
That is my bad.
They say smash that like button. Smash that like button. That's what they say.
Can you swear on YouTube?
You can.
Like, it's like, is it, do they take it down if it's like excessive?
If it's excessive, they might pull monetization.
Yeah, they demonetize it.
But I think if you throw like a few like tasteful ones in there, it's fine.
It's never tasteful. It's always hilarious.
Yeah, it's always hilarious.
It's always hilarious.
I like that.
We just did Zach Sang's show and he had to bleep out all the swearing.
Oh, like for how long? Like,
our interview was like an hour and a half.
So you got to skim through that.
Did you watch that show?
I watch pieces of it.
Yeah, I just look for if I say anything funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're skimming through like an hour of audio for
I listened to this one. This one was a good one because I like Zach. He's a cool dude. Okay, so cool. But some of the ones I'm like, I just say anything funny.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, dude. I mean, it's tough. Like to watch. I was sat down to do the intro podcast video for my thing last night, and that'll drop in like a month or whatever. But I was like, I'm not going to bleep my shit out because like then it's just too much work and I'm going to be thinking about it while I'm talking and I don't want to necessarily think while I'm talking. I just want to be real. So, you know, it's a good move.
It's hard to be honestly, dude. Like, I think the more you do it, you're going to be like, I think the first one you do, it will be a really cool thing for you to like, see what, because it's way different. It's always way different. Like
different medium.
Different. It's way different. It's like you have these things in front of you. You know you're doing it for something, but it's also like put it aside and then how do you just have a conversation?
Right.
It's a little bit difficult to get past that, but for at least for me, for the first couple times I did it, I was like, this is gonna be like, you know, people are gonna be listening, like it has to be right. And it's really that comes off when you're thinking about that. You can tell.
Right.
That you're thinking about what to say. So it's really like,
yeah.
It just takes practice. It's like anything. It's like riding a bike, even though for some reason I was fucking perfect the second I stepped on a bike.
That's interesting. Tell me more about that.
That's it. There's nothing else to it. It's the only thing.
You just fell on a bike and you were riding it?
I just got on it and I was like, I'm good at this.
Interesting.
Yeah, nothing else has been
like
that.
That's a mental thing.
Nothing else in my life has been like, I've never tried one thing and been like, this is what I'm good at.
Dude, there's some people that like, there's that motherfucker who like through meditation, like hikes the Himalayas, like barefoot, like, and he's just able to like hold his breath underwater for 30 minutes. Like,
yeah, that's real psycho stuff. I think there's something else there.
Like that's, but it's all mental at that point.
Yeah, I know. It's super weird. And I don't know how people get to that point.
But are you glad that I'm comparing your bike riding to those motherfuckers? You know, that's like some serious shit.
We're both heroes is the thing. We're both absolutely 100% heroes.
Dude, I'm so excited to get my puppet made. That's all I'm thinking about really right
now. So what's coming up? Do some plugging. What's next?
Podcast is coming true. Keep an eye out for that. Definitely doing more animations, working on some longer form stuff.
Cool.
You know, want to get a TV show mini series going super soon.
Do you
soon.
Know like what all that stuff like before you do it? I have another question.
Yeah.
This is the only other thing is like where, when you're driving, when you're going doing shit,
yeah.
Like, are you constantly just thinking about what you're going to be making or do you like wake up or go to sleep and be like, this is what I'm going to do?
Like one or the other, like, I mean, my mind's always on like
right.
thinking about work and creating.
It's hard.
Yeah. It's hard to be
in one fucking place.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'd have it any other way. Like I really like always, I like talking about work. I like thinking about work because my work is so fun and cool and it's goofy and creative. And you know, if my work was fucking accounting, like wouldn't be the case, you know?
Right.
But I'm like always thinking about the next video, always thinking I'll be doodling and I'm like, ooh, that's great character design right there. Or I'll like say a joke and I'll be like, that's funny. Like I should keep that in mind for a video. So like, yeah, definitely always thinking about stuff. It's not while I'm driving. It's probably while I'm on like a crowded ass subway in New
right.
York.
Yeah. But yeah. Just
not much
head.
Of a difference, you know, like, but yeah, man, I'm super excited because like I feel like this is my year to flex like creatively, you know, the past 3 years have or if you think about it on like a larger scale, like the past like 13 years,
sure,
have been like me constantly building. And I finally find myself at a point like something like I think I'm at 4 or 5 million total followers across all platforms.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
This is really quick before you get in there. If you post something and you turn your notifications on, what does that look like?
Ooh, I stopped doing that like as soon as my shit started blowing up.
Yeah, no, I wonder. I always wonder like what that fucking
I wouldn't want to find out.
You have the highest engagement I've ever seen of anyone.
It's pretty crazy. Like likes. If I were to turn on likes, yikes.
Yeah, that's like
yikes likes.
I would love to see that. We should do that just one day just to see what it looks like.
Some throwaway device. Your phone would probably explode.
We should get like an old Razer phone from like 2005.
And hook up.
Hook up Instagram to it. Turn on all notifications. And I'll post like a sex tape.
And then watch it. Watch
catch
it
on fire.
Dude, watch it burn, dude. I think would fucking just not enough.
Dude, that shit, the vibration. But yeah, dude, no, like. We're talking about a clothing collab.
We're gonna do it.
I'm talking about collabs with other people. Like it's gonna be a year of just fun, bro. Good. You know what I mean? Like it's just gonna be. So that's what I mean by creatively flexing. Like I already built the audience and the engagements there.
What the fuck you want?
Yeah. Now I get to like reap the benefits. Yeah. What a cool having these cool people in my life. You know.
Same thing. Do you think it's Have you been more inspired to write in LA?
I guess I've been here for 2 weeks now, officially 2.5 weeks. My mental state is definitely better than it would be if I was back in New York during the winter. I just hate it back there.
Yeah.
I hate the cold. Spring in New York is beautiful. Fall in New York is beautiful. Parts of summer in New York are beautiful. But I really do see a version of myself living here, man. I do find myself just being able to walk around and just like think about life and thinking about ideas. And so yeah, like I think in a way I have been a little more inspired
in a different way, which I think will probably be really cool to see coming out in your art.
Dude, I'm excited, man. You know, and like you said, we had coffee the other day. You were telling me how you think it'll really be good for me that I'm out here.
I think it's
just
great.
Just connection-wise.
I fucking think it's great. I think it'll be really, really good. It's also just so different to do any sort of like medium in different places of the country.
Right.
Or the world.
Right.
Like it's really like that your surroundings, or at least for me, like my surroundings severely affect how I like write or what I do or
same, yeah.
Or anything. So I think it'll be really interesting to see what the animations and what all the illustration stuff looks like now that you've been out here for a little bit.
It'll be interesting, man. Main difference though, where I can't get any peace and quiet, is the Ubers out here. The Uber drivers out here really like to talk, so that's different. But other than that, still not going back to New York.
It's weird. It's cold. Not a girl, and they talk to you.
Yeah,
they don't say shit to me.
Really?
And I look like a criminal, so.
Yeah, maybe I have to get some more tattoos.
Yeah, buzz your head.
I walk in, I'm like, hey, I'm Danny, thanks. And, you know, that's like my cue for them to like just drive me and like, please let me like, I got to respond to emails and shit. Yeah. And this guy today just drove me over here. I was like, thanks. And he was like, he looked me in the mirror. He's like, no problem. It's my job. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah, you knew what you were signing up for.
I'm looking at the thing. It says 12 minutes till destination. He's talking about like fucking how GPS sucks and shit. I'm like, dude, like.
Yeah, no, it is a lot. Dude, wait till you go to Midwest.
What is it? Oh, yeah, I imagine.
Oh,
dude.
That's like story time. It's all story time. Story time is in the Midwest, dude. Oh, LA, dude, New York is easy compared to that. Unless you're a girl, I think then they're always just going to talk to you.
Right.
I don't think you're getting out of that.
Dude, yeah. I mean, listen, I would never be a pretty girl, you know. Ugly one, sure.
I would fucking be a pretty girl in a second. If I could snap my fingers right now, I'd be out of this bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be fucking done. All right. Anyway.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being on here. How do you want people to find you?
Cool Man Coffee Dan, or Danny Casale, anywhere and everywhere, baby.
Danny Casale, thank you for being here. I appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Hi, I'm Emma.
And I'm Joe.
And we're the professional book nerds. Two Mondays a month, we interview authors and talk about their upcoming books, what drives them, and their go-to order at the cafe.
On Thursdays, we share recommendations and dive into topics readers face, like, how do I actually read the books on my to-be-read list?
You can find the Professional Book Nerds podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to learn more about us? Our website is professionalbooknerds.com, and you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at ProBookNerds.
We hope you'll come and listen, and as always,
happy reading!